introduction into my thoughts this morning. I believe this morning that we hold in our hands the living Word of God. I believe that this Word that we read out of is not just an ordinary storybook that you get off the shelf to read. I believe that this Word contains living, life-changing Word. The Word of Jesus. And I believe the stories that are in the Bible are 100% true. I believe they have happened to real live people like you and me. You believe that? I see heads nodding. You believe that? Yeah. Not everybody believes that. And I'm sorry to say that if you do not believe that the Bible is true, it's going to be a bad day for you. And it's not going to go well for you because it doesn't change the truth. Why do I believe that the Bible is true? Good question. I've been raised. I've not been raised a Christian. I've been raised a Mennonite. But that's just a name. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus has the power to change men's lives because he has changed me. And he continues to change me. Now, I'll give you the title in a bit, but are there any gods out there other than Jesus Christ? Other than the true, holy, almighty God, are there any gods out there that give you, give you a promise of future, a promise of help, a promise of freedom, a promise of are there any gods out there that promise you those things for your life? Okay. There are gods out there, I believe, that in our minds, we allow ourselves to believe the lie of Satan that they will promise us better things. More money will promise us a better future. Whatever it might be, it doesn't change the fact that that is still false. And we get to the end of the life and our life is ebbing away and the doctors say you have 48 hours to live. That God who you trusted in, other than the true God, will be gone. Okay. It's not going to be lasting. The title of the message this morning, Is Thy God Able? Is Thy God Able? When a Christian gets to the end of their life and they believe in God, the true God, the God of heaven, the Creator. I've never been there. I've not been at the end of my life. I had close calls in my life, but I've never been at the end of my life. I believe that there is a glorious peace that awaits the Christian. And a glorious peace that comes over them as they understand the Holy Spirit within them speaking to them peace. And what you've lived for, what you've trusted in me, I am now about to take you home to heaven. And life will only be. Is thy God able this morning? Turn with me to Luke chapter 8 if you have your Bibles along. I would like to remind you this morning, and I'm relying on the aid of the Holy Spirit this morning, and this in this message. I don't know exactly how this is going to come across to you, or how it's, I just pray, and I just hope that God's Spirit will speak something into your heart this morning. Look past me, brethren and sisters. Trust God this morning to fill your heart with what you need to be faithful again next week. And I'd like to just challenge us to look this morning at what we're trusting in. I know the congregation here at Light of Truth is a young congregation. You face lots of struggles, I'm sure you have. But our God is a God that is true. Our God is a God that is real. He's a God that's alive. He's a God that doesn't bring us so far just to drop us and let us go and say, I'm sorry, I'm done. But no, as we follow Him, we can find freedom and peace and comfort and direction. I'd like to remind you this morning that throwing a hungry lion into the den of a praying man is bad news for a hungry lion. The lion's going to starve. Now, that didn't happen in the Bible. They threw a man into the den of a hungry lion. But same thing would have been true if they threw a hungry lion in with Daniel. There are times in life where we feel like we're being thrown in the den, where life is pressing upon us. And this story in Luke chapter 8 is just that. I'd like to remind you again this morning that Jesus comes to save. He comes to hear and to pardon and to help not only the rich, but the poor. Everyone. This centurion here in Luke chapter 8 was a rich man, I believe. Yet he had a need in his life. This woman was a poor lady. She spent all she had to try to get help for her physical problem. I don't know if you spent all you've had to try to get help for something in your life. With Jesus, all things are possible. It doesn't say we're going to be healed of everything. But it does mean we will have peace. We face circumstances in life that are beyond our control, where we feel like we're free falling through an unknown future. I have in my life, I've had many experiences of that, where I'm simply at the end of my rope, and then you just hang on. And that's where God keeps us, because, you know, that's when we call out to Him. That's when we call out to Him. In our flesh, we like to associate. I like to tell you this. This is how it is with me. In my flesh, I like to associate comfort and peace and freedom from pain and hardship. I like to associate that with the fullest of God's blessings, you know. And truly, that is a blessing of God. But I like to remind us that when all those things are taken away, and we're given nothing but pain and nothing but what appears to be hardship or a journey of broken dreams or whatever it is, the blessing of God and the peace of God is still there. It's still there. God can speak peace to our hearts. But we like to associate that peace with and blessing with having an easy life. It's not always been that way. I'd like to remind you in 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen," or make you perfect, establish, in other words, settle you, and strengthen and then settle you. After you have suffered a while. 2 Corinthians 12:10. "Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." This morning, coming into the city this morning, I was amazed at the number of people just out in the rain. Walking in the rain. They obviously had needs that they needed to fill, and a lot of them didn't have umbrellas. It was raining. God loves everyone, whether they have an umbrella to shade the rain from their head or whether they don't. It doesn't mean that God's looks more favorable than the one that has the umbrella and has more things better together. God loves everyone. The question is, who are you loving? Is thy God able? Is your God able to give you peace and joy and comfort and a new life in heaven? Now, I want to read for you. I want to read Luke chapter 8, verses 41 to 56. And then I have just a few points on finding freedom in Jesus. I was impressed with a question and this is how it is with us sometimes. In verse 49, I was impressed with this question, or this statement that the centurion's servant said. And when life comes to us with its calamities and its hardships, we're tended to say this sometimes, to think that things are beyond God's control. Or we're tempted to say, like this servant did, in the end of verse 49, he says, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. In other words, what can he do now? She's dead. Let's read. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And the woman having an issue of blood 12 years," in other words, when this woman got her issue of blood, this girl would have been born. It would have been a baby. "She had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She came behind him and touched his border of his garments, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." Now I want to remind you of what this woman was doing here. This woman, according to the law, as I understand it, was an infirmed woman. And it was a bad day for her and for the man that she touched, if that was public knowledge, that this man was touched by an infirmed woman. That was a no-no. Okay? Men in that time, a lot of them, they hesitated to even look on a woman that, because of the laws of infirmity and things. But what happens? "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?'" Now all of a sudden he's bringing this to light. "When all denied," and apparently the woman as well, "when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?'" You got to be kidding, Jesus. "And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto him, 'Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace.' While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master.' But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.' And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the mother, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept, and bewailed her. But he said, 'Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called and saying, made arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I said before that I believe that the Bible is true. I believe that this story happened, okay? What if this happened after lunch right outside here in Hewitt Avenue? The power that lays in this story lays right here in this room. Is that right? The problem, the challenge of your life this morning, right now, wherever, Jesus is able touch that. He's able to take that. He's able to heal that. He is able to give you the grace to bear that. But we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Point number one, to find freedom in Jesus, it is important that we are done with our own pursuits. I just simply worded it that way. This woman, she spent all she had. She spent her whole living upon physicians, and they couldn't heal her. She was at the end of herself. And that's, we see that through Scripture. People come to the end of themselves, and they're done. A person that is, comes to the end of themselves and they understand that there is nothing in themselves that can get them out of their addiction, get them out of whatever they are in, and understand that Jesus has the power and believe in Jesus. Okay, then it opens the door to his power. Trying to find happiness through alternate sources only brings more bondage and loss in our life. Sometimes we need to hit our noses against the wall hard enough to cause us to open our eyes and just see the need of Jesus, the need of accepting Jesus. You see that in life as we get older. And before people accept Jesus into their hearts, they try all kinds of things. They try to be good enough in their own lives and doing the right things and just living right and trying their own strength. And they become frustrated and angry and bitter and whatever it might be. A long time ago, on a school trip, a field trip, I observed a bunch of young boys standing on top of a rock, trying to lift the rock. Standing on top of the rock, but they were trying to lift the rock, yeah, while they were standing on it. And one of the other little boys come walking by and saw what they're doing and says, and these little boys are on top, they were, yeah, we're going to lift this. And the little boy come walking by, he said, you won't lift that, you're standing on it. And whatever else he said, I forget. But, boy, that's how life is sometimes, though. Try to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. To find freedom in Jesus, it is important that we are done. We come to the end of ourselves and we let go. I remind you that that this is the very place that most of us really struggle. even after you're a Christian, and God puts things in your mind that you need to clear up. And then there's the free fall. There's the letting go. The story is told of a man that was holding on. He slid off the edge of a cliff. And he's sliding down the side of the cliff. And he manages to grab onto a tree. A thin tree along the cliff. And he's holding on. Holding on tight. And he's scared and fearful. And he's calling for help. Calling for help. And he hears someone saying, "I will help you." It's a call from down below saying, "I will help you." And he's, "Come get me. Come get me." And the call comes back and says, "I will help you, but you must let go. You must let go." When I heard that illustration the first time, it blessed my heart dearly, because I was right at the point in an experience in my life where I needed to let go. And that free fall from letting go to into the unknown future is painful. But you know what? That's where God meets us. Right there. God will not leave you down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, they said this. They said, before they went in, they said, "King, we don't know if God is going to save us or not. We don't know. We're not sure. But one thing we know is that he's going to save us from you, King. And we're not going to bow to your idols." God saved them in a physical way. I can assure you that letting go and reaching out to God, God will save you. Number two, to find freedom in Jesus means that we will reach out to Jesus by faith, okay? So, we are scared to let go of the branch we're holding on to. We're scared to go through the free fall. What is it that enables you to let go? Some people might let go because they're just simply suicidal, okay? You won't let go. That's in the physical condition. That's reaching out to a different God. When you recognize someone speaks to you or speaks the word of Jesus to you, and you're wondering about this Jesus, to find freedom in Jesus means that we will reach out to Jesus by faith. Okay, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to believe in Jesus. You must have faith to believe. I believe we reach out to Jesus by faith. And there's more ways that we do this, but I put these three ways down because I just felt that the Spirit wanted me to put these down. We reach out to Jesus by faith in three ways, and then more, but okay, we make a petition. In other words, we pray. We make a plea. Okay? We sense in ourselves we can't do it. Some higher power. And then we submit ourselves in submission. And then, well, submission or contrition, I'm not sure. I have them both there. We submit ourselves, and we also have, we're contrite of heart. Before revival comes contrition. And before contrition comes submission. We can put it that way. In other words, to stand tall in one's own way is like saying, as this servant did here, "Trouble not the master." In other words, is thy God able? Is it a failure? It is a failure to see the provision of Jesus when we feel like our need or whatever we're involved in is too great for Jesus. It's too great for his power. To reach out to Jesus means that by faith we believe his promises. We believe that what he says he will do, he will do. that's exactly what this lady did. She believed that Jesus could heal her. Her faith has made her whole. I want to remind you of a few verses here. I'll just read them quickly. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If you're in tears this morning, if you are in distress, you are going through extreme difficulty. God is very close to a person like that. God is very near. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Why? To revive the heart of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God wants us to experience revival. He wants us to experience his blessing. Number three, to find freedom in Jesus requires confession of our sins. We find freedom in Jesus when we acknowledge our need. The response of Jesus to a contrite heart is forgiveness and peace. This woman acknowledged her need. You know, when she saw she couldn't be hid, she confessed what happened. She said it all. To find freedom in Jesus, we must confess our need. Number four, to find freedom in Jesus means that we replace fear with belief. And we talked about that some. I don't know if the church here at Light of Truth has any fears. I would imagine there probably are some. I imagine your congregation has gone through some times of fear. What did Nehemiah and his men do? When they were building the walls of Jerusalem and they experienced threats to their work, they kept on building. They took the threats into account and they acted wisely. Some of them worked while the other ones guarded, and they worked and they kept right on going. They believed their God was able. I'd like to remind you of the young man that was with Elisha. And the enemy was camped around the hills. And this servant was, his knees may have been knocking together. He was scared about what life was bringing on them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Can we vision the Bronx suburb here? If God could just open our eyes, would this be full of chariots of fire just round about us here? Burning in the rain, if you will. To find freedom in Jesus, we replace fear with belief. It comes to my mind now. Now, when you're experiencing guilt in your life or whatever it is, and you're looking for freedom, a rich faith is only developed out of a tremendous burden of guilt. You see, you need to believe. I don't care this morning how steep your sin is. Oh, yes, we care, but a rich faith in Jesus. You say this morning, God can't save me. I have done too many things. There's no. Faith in Jesus. It takes faith to believe that Jesus forgives my sin. When I confess him, You see, after people confess Jesus, they confess their sin. The devil is there to come back and say, you know what, there's nothing to it. You're as trashy as you always were before, and you're not worth anything. But that's where we need to have a faith in Jesus that says, you know what, here is where I laid it down. Here is where I started a new life, and devil, you are wrong. I believe in Jesus, and I am saved. And that's a rich faith. Because your faith and your belief in Jesus, now I'm not talking about believing in something that didn't happen. I'm talking about, you know that you confessed, you know that you were forgiven, and you know you can go back and you can say, right there's where it happened. You live in freedom in Jesus when you have a faith that is stronger than a false guilt that wants to come on you. That's freedom in Jesus. Number five. Define freedom in Jesus means, I don't know if this is really define freedom in Jesus, but this is just how I have it down here. Define freedom in Jesus means that what once was dead spiritually is brought back to new life. You see, I believe in Jesus this morning, and I believe that he has power to save people from sin. I know what he's done in my life, and I know what he's done in the lives of some of my friends. Where they were in deep sin, they gave their heart to Jesus and they started a new life and are living free. God is in the restoration business. He wants to restore. He wants to strengthen. He wants to heal. He wants to give us new life in him. The lives of individuals, people, our fellow society, the lives of these people touched by God will bring them to new life. We need to be there to walk with them and to encourage them. But God does a work in the hearts of these people that we cannot do. But we can touch the Master through prayer and beseeching the Father for them. I'd like to remind you this morning that the lives of individuals touched by God will first see themselves, they will deal with themselves, and they will forgive themselves as God does to them. Now, I don't know of any case this morning where Jesus healed someone. This woman, we don't have it recorded here. I don't know of any case in the Bible where Jesus healed someone and the person continued to stay lying on their cot. Jesus always, he reached down to the person and he said, I give you a hand to rise and rise up and walk, or open your eyes and see, or whatever it was. It wasn't. It happened. There was a change. Why do I experience sometimes this thing of, I want freedom, but yet, you know, really deep down in, I really do not want the freedom. You see, if that's really where I'm at, I'm not going to experience the freedom. Now, back to the story of finishing up here. Back to the story of Daniel and the lion's den. You know why the lion didn't eat Daniel? You know why it was bad news for a hungry lion in the den with a praying man? The Bible tells us in that story that the king come out the next morning and he looks down in the den and he says, Daniel, he calls down in, Daniel, was your God able to save you? And Daniel says, oh, king, God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths. You know why? Because Daniel's heart was innocent before God. Daniel was right. To find freedom in Jesus means are free in Jesus, we find freedom in Jesus, when our heart is lined up with God, and that channel of communication through the aid of the Holy Spirit, the channel of God's power comes into our heart. It doesn't mean this morning. Last Saturday, I had my son in the emergency room because of what we thought he was having appendicitis. But it ended up he wasn't having appendicitis, but he had early stages of pneumonia, and his white blood cell count was really high, and it was making his tummy hurt. Now, when I left the emergency room in the evening, I was happy to take my son along, and I met another couple getting out of the vehicle that was just coming to the emergency room. And I work with this man. And I ask him, is everything okay? And he said, no. His son-in-law, who I also know, he said his son-in-law is in. And incidentally, his son-in-law is having some trouble with his platelets, his platelet count. They don't know exactly why. But his platelet count is down to zero. And they're thinking of transferring him to the Hershey Medical Center. I'm leaving with my son, who I'm rejoicing is feeling better. They're just coming with what appears to be a worse situation. I want to remind you that God is able in every situation. There is no situation that is out of God's scope to work with. And we like to somehow think that the only way we know that God is working is when he's giving us what we want. Then we think that God is working. Maybe you're not that way. By faith, can we see God working even when we're not getting what we feel we want in our flesh? But when we resign ourselves, we find freedom in Jesus, we resign ourselves to the plan of God, we resign ourselves not as my will, but as thou wilt, that is where true freedom, that is where true peace resides. I'd like to bless you this morning. God bless your congregation as you continue on. You know, just be faithful to God. Keep your heart clean before God. Keep it open. Keep the channel of blessing open. Keep the debris out of the way. Work with the debris. There's going to be debris that falls in. There will be times that we just need to say, God, I've failed. I need you to clean. I need you in my life. And God will be faithful. May God bless your congregation abundantly. Pray. All right. Let's kneel for prayer.